There are few places on earth like a college campus. Different generations, all walks of life, from around the country.
I grew up in LA, but I've always wanted to be a Sooner.
And the world.
I lived in Panama, and now I'm at OU studying creative media production.
Living on campus together, broadening our horizons.
There are ways to think about this that I never thought about before.
Learning, growing, making mistakes.
When it started hailing during our study, I knew that we had miscalculated.
And achieving remarkable things.
I got to help with cancer research, and I'm only an undergrad.
I'm Emily Tackett, and this is Just So, an OU podcast about thought leaders here in the heartland. There's a world of voices on this campus, but there's only one Oklahoma. Today on the show, we're talking about heroes.
I thought I heard gunfire. That's enough.
We love our heroes. They protect the innocent, they fend off evil villains, and they often represent the best our culture has to offer.
Know that wherever evil lurks, in all its myriad forms, I'll be there with the hammers of justice to fight for decency and defend the innocent. Good night.
But oftentimes, blinded by our own hero love affairs, we fail to look critically at the way hero narratives permeate our political and pop culture in not so positive ways. So we invited Dr. Liz Locke into the studio to talk about the myth of the hero.
My name is Liz Locke, and I teach in the Expository Writing Program, where I focus mainly on myth and focus primarily on ancient Mediterranean myth, but also American popular culture, which I think of as a form of myth.
With narratives that play with themes of enforcing justice, prevailing over evil, and what it means to be brave and virtuous, heroic myths play an important role in how we understand the world. The way we conceptualize heroes, from the Bronze Age to now, has had a meaningful influence on society. So in order to understand the significance of the myth of the hero in our culture, let's start with the baseline definition of myth.
Myth is essentially a genre of storytelling in which we receive stories. They're traditional stories that have been handed to us across the generations. And because they've been handed down for so long, they're taken as given, right? That this is the way the world works.
The first dictionary definition of myth is this: a traditional story, typically involving supernatural beings or events. Synonyms for this definition are legend, story, tale, and saga. The second definition is a widely held but false belief or idea. The synonyms here are misconception, fiction, and fallacy. So even though myth is synonymous with fiction, we often lean on mythological narratives to better understand our world.
So when we are presented with a myth, whether it's a myth from the ancient world or one from our own culture, we don't respond by saying, really, what's your evidence for that? We just go, oh, well, given the fact that that's the way the world works, then we'll operate from here.
It's not that people can't discern stories from reality or that fictional storytelling is inherently bad. It's just that after being exposed to countless myths and stories and narratives about who you have to be in order to be a hero, it's difficult to not internalize that message and take it as the truth. And that's fine when your culture glorifies perfect, virtuous heroes.
Superman!
Jimmy, quick. Where are we?
You don't know? You're in Star Labs, the cellar or something.
Go up and get help. You can't stay here. He'll be back any minute.
But if you're like me, and arguably most people, you go for the more damaged, emotionally disturbed heroes, like Batman.
No, stop! Leave me alone!
What's the matter, Scarecrow? Can't handle your own medicine?
Because, let's be real, they're a lot more interesting. So for better or worse, we see ourselves in these heroes, and consciously or subconsciously idolize people in real life who behave similarly. And according to Dr. Liz Locke, in American culture, it all started with the American cowboy hero.
This is something that has always captured my imagination forever. The hero is essentially an extension of the ego, right? We identify with the hero in every story. So there are a lot of reasons that heroes come up in stories. One of the big ones is a character called the culture hero. And every society has a culture hero of some kind. You saw recently this Disney film called Moana about Polynesia. And The character there is Maui. Maui is the great culture hero of the whole Polynesian culture from Hawaii'i all the way through New Zealand and Fiji, because he is the person who taught them how to make boats. He's the person in the mythology who taught them how to use fish hooks. In other words, the culture hero is the person who teaches you how to be who your culture is. In many ways, the cowboy hero is our culture hero. And the American cowboy hero is so deeply enmeshed in our politics and our history and our attitudes about masculinity and what justice is. We can't quite get to the comic book superhero in third unit without going through the cowboy. There is no lack of data for understanding how the cowboy myth has infiltrated American politics. The cowboy hero's narrative is he comes in from somewhere else as an outsider. He comes into an innocent community under siege. And this is the story of every cowboy western, is that the innocent people are suffering from an evil that has come in from the outside. There is no evil in paradise, so it must have come from the outside. And this is prevalent in all of our immigration narratives these days about who the enemy is. It's always somebody from the outside.
Thinking of the American cowboy, how they're virtuous and they're courageous and they're brave, and it's the pinnacle of masculinity, sometimes emotionally stunted, whatever.
That's the stereotype. You've got it. That's right. The problem is he's a criminal.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, is do we really want that anymore? Do we want...
That's what I try to get my students to think about.
So I hit the streets in Norman in search of students because I wanted to know what they thought about it too.
Okay.
Testing, testing. Awesome. Okay. I wanted to see who their heroes were and if they thought hero stories had as big of a cultural impact as we thought. And I found Ramsey.
Yes, well, my name is Ramsey Phelps. I'm a junior here at OU. I'm a political science major, and I also have a minor in social justice.
And Austin.
Hi, I'm Austin Chandler. I'm a professional writing major.
Professional writing is a major with a huge emphasis on writing commercial novels. So Austin has spent his college career writing and creating new heroes. Also, I used a handheld mic, so I apologize in advance for the audio.
So I've been talking to a professor at OU about heroes. I'm really interested to see, as a writer, someone who creates heroes as part of their major, what you think about some of these tropes that we talked about. And so who are your favorite heroes?
I mean, I had all the classic heroes. I've always liked John McClane and Die Hard. But my favorite hero when I was growing up was Indiana Jones, like running around the house, like whipping, you know, whatever with like a rope and stuff. When I was a kid, he was the coolest hero. I didn't identify with more of the like straight-laced, like the James Bond type hero who was just like, oh, I'm so suave and debonair. Because that just isn't me and wasn't me. But Indiana Jones was like the rugged outdoorsman's James Bond. Like, he's still, it's almost like they're superheroes but without powers. That's what, and so when you're a kid, that's just the best. I mean, because it's like he's got these abilities, but none of them are, you know, fantastical. In your head, when you're 6 years old, you're like, that's me. That'll be me in 20 years, which turns out it wasn't.
Is there anything problematic about the way that Indiana Jones or Moana or other heroes that you love enforce their idea of justice or pursue their heroic journey?
I definitely think that a lot more of the heroes that I loved growing up are more problematic. Definitely Indiana Jones. I mean, there's a lot of examples in his films where he's very aggressive, or the way he treats the treatment of women in those movies, it's very similar to James Bond. It's just like, these are objects. They're just here to make Indiana look cooler. I mean, there's a scene in The Last Crusade where the girl that Indiana is with, she like slaps him, and then they start making out. Like, that's the next step in that sequence. And I was like, wait a minute. And later it turns out she's a Nazi. So we're supposed to be like, oh, okay, she's a Nazi. But I'm like, wait a minute. That doesn't make it better. We didn't know she was a Nazi then. So I definitely think there's a lot of heroes and movies looking back that don't age well as you get older and you learn more about just like what being a hero looks like, what being good looks like in the modern literature and movies.
Looking back now, Austin is able to think critically about the hero narratives of his childhood and realize that they glorified some not-so-awesome things, one of them being the objectification of women. That's a troubling myth to inherit because it takes a while for us as a society to go back and deconstruct it. And I'm sure a lot of people would still argue that there's nothing wrong with the treatment of women in films like Indiana Jones. That's just the way the world works. But with heroes like that, the world becomes a pretty unsafe place for a lot of the people living in it.
Do you think that despite being able to recognize that those movies don't age well and what it means to be a hero is changing, do you think that we internalize that message and still kind of expect certain behavior from our heroes?
Yes. I think it's hard to separate the idea from the art, and I understand that, like, there are some people who probably, when I say art, they're like, look, I'm not watching Indiana Jones to enjoy a work of art. I'm just enjoying Indiana Jones. But I do think, especially from a younger age, like, I think now I can watch a James Bond or Indiana Jones movie and enjoy the entertainment of it and, you know, kind of step away from some of the, you know, maybe more negative ideas that they have. But I do think that it influences us a lot. I think in writing classes, in writing heroes, villains, or just side characters, like, when you're thinking of, okay, what's this character's deal? Let's create him. A lot of times the biggest thing is that, you know, just throw a stereotype on there.
As a writer, what inspiration do you draw from past heroes into your heroes? And how do you avoid stereotypes or use them in a new way? Or how does that influence the characters you create?
I think it influences my creative choices in basically every way. I mean, everything we do comes from influences. Like, you know, they say, like, write what you know. But in reality, we don't. Our lives are kind of boring. So most of the time, the things we write, the stories we write, the stories we tell are just evolved versions, well, hopefully evolved versions of the things we've already read and written and seen. So I think they influence me in every way. Sometimes, though, I will say, they influence me in the way of me thinking, like, okay, how do I make sure this doesn't happen? So in my novel, I have, like, one hero, obviously, but there's four other characters, and two of those, four other, like, big main characters. Two of those are female, two of those are male, those four others. And I'm constantly thinking, like, okay, how am I going to, like, flip the archetype here? How am I going to make this female character, like, strong and not just, like, check out how hot she is, or check out, you know, she's the love interest. And for me, like, I just don't have a love interest because I'm like, I don't know how to write that without making it just boring and usual. When you're in the right mindset, I think it can be good and helpful to look at bad examples of how people have done it wrong so that you know what not to do in your own work.
It's cool that Austin is trying to write out the more troubling stereotypes associated with heroism. It's not that our heroes have to be perfect people. They can and should have flaws. But I do think it's problematic and telling when those flaws are glorified and celebrated in the moral framework of the hero's story, which has been the case for a really long time. Ramsey had a totally different experience growing up with superheroes and some novel ideas about who our new cultural heroes could be.
So, who is your favorite fictional superhero?
I will say that I probably don't have, like, a huge favorite, but my favorite growing up was always Spider-Man. I liked him a lot, but I think growing up I had a hard time trying to connect to, like, the mainstream superheroes. I think, honestly, the one thing that kind of drew me to Spider-Man was that he kind of had more of a sense of humor than the others. Like, Batman or Superman never really, like, talked, or you never really got to know their personality as much. It was always focused on just, like, the action that they were doing and the villains that they were trying to defend off. But I feel like Spider-Man, you got to see a little bit more of his personality and got to see that he was kind of quirky in a lot of the movies, a little bit, almost more like a nerd. And so I guess I kind of was drawn to that aspect of him a little bit.
It's really interesting to see you not identify as much with the classic hero, but to look more towards more unconventional heroes who still are very much heroes and fill that spot in the narrative as the hero. Dr. Liz Locke talked about the culture hero, and that is the hero that teaches a culture who to be and how to behave and what is the shining standard to function in society and the society that it exists in. And so I was wondering, what do you think America's culture hero is now?
Honestly, I don't know if America's culture hero has changed that much over the past few years. I know that, like, we have Wonder Woman that has come out and stuff like that, but I feel like as of now, a lot of the standard superheroes are still men and still white males. And I feel like anyone else who is in that movie, whether it be females or people of color, are always either a villain or on the back burner or a sidekick. And so I think that's why I had such a tough time trying to connect with superheroes.
Being a political science major, do you see at all a pattern of the American public projecting the myth of the hero onto our politicians? Do we subconsciously want them to behave in the way that we see heroes behave in movies, or do we want them to behave differently than the heroes that we see in movies?
I think we definitely want them to behave like the people that we see in movies, because that is the model that is put in front of us. And, you know, growing up, people are always told, like, those who are in Hollywood or people that you see on the movies, you know, those are the superstars, those are the heroes, those are the people that you should strive to be like. Whenever President Obama was still president, and anytime he showed emotion, or I know he cried in a speech once, and that was like a really huge thing for people, and people were not happy. They thought that it was embarrassing that our president was crying. People were so taken aback by the fact that he was crying, because we've never seen men in any capacity show emotion in any type of Hollywood culture or movies or whatever.
Dr. Liz Locke said over the years of teaching her courses, students seem to be thinking more critically about the heroes our culture idolizes.
So that tells me that young people coming out of the high schools now are much savvier about the consequences, about what's at stake and for whom it's at stake, because they're willing, maybe grudgingly, maybe hesitantly, but they're willing to think about an experience that is not their own. And that does fill me with hope.
And after talking to Ramsey and Austin, I was feeling pretty hopeful too. If you had to choose a hero for the culture that you want us to have, who would you choose?
I mean, my ideal hero would probably be, I would actually want like a superhero team, not just one person, because I really think that diversity is important. So I would want, you know, people who maybe are superheroes who care about more than just fighting, maybe superheroes who fight for, like, I don't know, social change. So maybe having like a cool superhero team with some people of color, some women and some men, and people who aren't afraid to, you know, fight or to not be aggressive always. Like, there are definitely other ways to resolve conflicts instead of violence. So maybe any superheroes who could do that without being aggressive.
Thank you so much for joining me, Ramsey. Really appreciate all your viewpoints on this subject.
Thank you so much, Emily. Thanks for having me.
You want to do it again?
Should I just say thank you? What do I say? I don't like this.
Thanks for going on this different kind of hero's journey with us this week. Just So is produced by me, Emily Tackett, and Drew Bernard. Artwork by Amy Azier, and other help from the OU Web Communications team. Follow the official OU Twitter, at U of Oklahoma, for news and updates on Just So. We'll have a fresh episode soon, so don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review in iTunes.